podcast is part of the Podcast Your Scene Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourscene.com.
Local media has an agenda that they're gonna serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star.
Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to come to tell?
This is Doug from After the Fall.
Hey, this is John Lane from the thriving tropics of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer.
Hey, it's Bill, and you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer, right here on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, 107.1 FM, St. Louis, Missouri, RootaRootRadio.com, San Diego, California, AltRockRadio.ca in Mississauga, Toronto, Canada, BillDeCine.com in Leechburg, Pennsylvania, and XRPRadio.co.uk in Birmingham, United Kingdom. This is episode number 541. And with me this evening is John Lane the Fourth from Three Vultures.
Yeah, 3V.
And for those of you that are watching the video, you'll notice the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse stuff on the wall. I believe there's a John Lane the Fifth in there somewhere.
Yeah, Johnny Five. You might hear some appearances. I think him and his mother went upstairs. We'll see.
How old is he now?
9 months here, a few days.
Huge. It's 9th. What date?
The 12th.
Ah, that's a week before my birthday. Although I'm going to be a lot more than 9 months.
Only like, what, 35 this year?
Sure, we'll take that. Yeah, 44.
Ooh.
Yeah. Still younger than John Lane the Third, though.
That is true. That is true by a couple years.
So anyway, sorry about that. Those of you that are watching live, my daughter was throwing me, I don't know what you would call them. She was throwing me hugs. Yeah, like, I was going to say blowing me hugs, but that's, what do you do?
It's not, like an Air 5.
Yeah.
Yeah, in today's world, the elbow.
Yeah. It's doing student, parent, teacher, student conferences over Zoom today. So it's definitely a different world.
Yeah, that Zoom. This is a big, that's a top dollar company now, huh?
Yeah. I took a picture of my classroom and green screened it. Parents thought I was in my classroom. I had to show them that I wasn't.
Disappointing.
But, you know, hey, I teach computers. I may as well show off that I know somewhat what I'm doing.
Hey, I can vouch for that. Made a website or two that I've been part of.
Yeah.
3vultures.com.
It's right down there.
Boom. There you go. Someone's got to plug it.
You kind of took over, though. You installed a different theme and
I attempted. I don't know if I've fully done that yet. I need to do some more work on that, trying to make it look fancy.
I just did a fairly large project. They're all linked together. It's rattleclack.com, which is Rattleclack Entertainment. And then we did studios.rattleclack.com, which is the record label portion of the company. And then I did halfwillband.com, which is one of Jazz's bands. And then I did homicideblack.com, which is another one of Jazz's bands. And Jazz owns the companies too. So if you're bored and you'd like to check out some cool music and go buy some music from Jazz's bands or bands that are on his label, go to rattleclack.com. There, we plugged another website. Or four,
yeah. Man, you have your hand on everything, don't you?
Besides being a dad for the first time for the last 9 months, how has the pandemic been affecting you and both your regular life and your band life?
Man, let's say the night before everything really shut down, we were at the Empire in Akron playing. And it was the night before my birthday as well. And I was supposed to go to a WWE event the next day for my birthday. My fiance had bought me tickets. Yeah, I learned that morning. We weren't doing that. Mm-hmm. And I talked to the venue owner at the Empire that night about how he was going to go about it. And, you know, he was basically going to hold out until they kind of said, hey, you got to be done. And then, of course, the next day, that was that cue. You know, he talked with legal people and everything. And it was just best if you listen, I guess. Not that they could do too much, I guess. But they said, you know, they could run your name through the dirt, so you don't want to hit those. It's with them being a smaller place, but man, it's hurting. I think a lot of people I know. I don't know too many venues that are playing. There's a couple bars, and we've been lucky and played maybe 3 or 4 times this year. 2 or 3 of them have been outdoors, so you can stay socially distanced, I guess, and wear your mask if you need be, and have fun. The little fun you're allowed to have in this 2020. I'm sure this is a big year for online gaming. I can almost guarantee that. Internet. That was nice and slow there in between March and June. Every student online.
Yeah, I was teaching from my kitchen. I'd like to not do that again.
Yeah. I mean, in some aspects, it's been a little bit of a blessing for me since I had my baby, you know, in February, or Connor had the baby. I was just there for moral support, you know. as soon as we got back, I got back off of a week off from all the chaos of birth. We pretty much were kind of in a shutdown after a couple weeks of being back. So I got to be home with him and help out at home. And on the other side, that was chaotic because I had to work from home, you know, conference calls, all the fun Zoom stuff. And I also had my sister here because she had a baby shortly after that. So I had 4 kids running around, well, 2 running around, 2 babies, and 2 mothers of chaos.
I mean, I have 2 10-year-olds and a 12-year-old. They're a little older than the ones. But
yeah, the oldest of my group is 7. So, and then a 2-year-old. Well, he was just on the brink of turning 2, but and he was up my butt and wanted to watch Mickey Mouse Clubhouse in the bedroom where my office was while I was on conference calls. Luckily, I work in the field, you know, construction field, so a lot of the GCs understood and pretty cool about it. Always asked me, how old's your kid? And I was like, I really only have 1. Just sounds like a houseful.
My kids would come in and sit on the other side of the camera and watch me teach and do, like, if I was doing something hands-on, they were doing it on the other side. It was a little distracting, but
yeah. Hey, you get to watch dad at work, right?
That's right. Or they'd come in and slide in beside me and lay their head on my shoulder while I was teaching. Man. Hey, everybody, this is Bria. Say hi to Bria.
Right.
Well, I mean, there were pluses, like, I didn't have to drive 100 miles a day.
That was one of the best pluses for me as well.
49 miles each way.
Yep. This is a PA rock show, and I'm an Ohio guy. I was born in PA, but I still work in PA. So, I had to drive across that border. Don't worry, I wait to get gas as soon as I hit Ohio border.
Oh, of course you do. I was looking that up. I think the taxes here in Pennsylvania are like 58 cents and 9/10 of a penny.
Wow.
What? I looked it up. I was looking on a map from, it was July of 2020, and the only state that had a higher tax was California.
Oh. Yeah. Man. That's intriguing, but I'm not to guess that.
Which may explain why they're all trying to go hybrid there.
Right. Yeah.
They want us to think they're hippies and they're trying to help the environment. Right. It's really because of the taxes.
Right. They're just avoiding those taxes, saving that money.
You're right. We really haven't talked much about music.
Yeah. Well, that's what I do best. I will say the beginning of the pandemic was interesting because, you know, like I said, we played a show the night before everything was shut down. And then shortly after that, my guitarist, Dustin Cutright, guitarist, singer, was sick. He actually got quarantined for like, I don't know, 14 to 20 days. They wouldn't test him because he was at high risk because it was so early on. But he had a couple doctors, you know, presume positive case. He said he just sat on his couch and he's like, that was the worst thing for me too, because like, getting back to moving, like his body just was so sore from laying around doing nothing. So it was the worst thing was like not being able to breathe. He said it was like bronchitis times 10. So that was a scare.
I so far have not had that issue, but I have had an issue caused by being at my house for 7 months and not doing anything.
We have been sleeping. Working on it. Yeah, sleeping is what it actually means.
No, go ahead. Working on.
We're working on some new music, you know. Good bit of it was done before pandemic, but, you know, that gave us time to settle down and actually let our engineer do his work and, you know, get the best product that we can. You know, we're not trying to rush, get anything done. But at the same time, we're kind of like now dragged our feet a lot. We haven't done much this year. You know, we've been talking to some people such as yourself, Bill, and give you some teasers and, you know, keep saying we're going to drop this thing. Now it's like, okay, we've sat around. We need to do something. Let's get this thing going. People don't have anything better to do. Listen to music and watch TV, right?
I have been binge watched so many things since. And every time I get to the end of something, I'm like, oh, now I have to start something else.
That's the worst part, trying to find something new. Well, if you haven't watched Black Mirror, it's a very strange show, but that's a band favorite of ours. We actually have a song, Black Mirror, it was off the last EP. And then DOA, another show that I know Dustin and I like. I believe Austin does too. He's sometimes out of loop on the fun stuff, but we have a song, Science and Religion. It's actually based off of that song, and that's on the upcoming EP. And the plan is to do 3 EPs and then a large album drop. And I think we're going to go with the self-titled album, you know, the real deal now. It's the plan right now. I think we're going to do 5 songs each EP. This is the game plan. We'll see how that goes. We have 10 written, 5 done, and then, you know, 5 other ones that need some touch-ups and continue writing on. A lot of different styles with the stuff we have going on. You know, Dustin and I did a doom metal band with a buddy of ours not too long ago. So we have a little bit of, you know, some touches of that and some stuff just from what we learned there. Some punk, which from my early days and High Class Kicks. You know, and just a little bit modern alternative with, you know, our inspirations of Smile Empty Soul. And you know, our basic grunge, Chevelle, Deftones kind of stuff. We've been actually covering Deftones lately, and when we play it live, I dread it every time because I'm not the best at covers. I'm really bad at learning the way to play the way they play it, kind of make it my own, which, I mean, it's kind of us, so people seem to dig it, but I'm waiting for that one guy to be like, you're totally messing that up.
Well, you know, tell them that you reconfigured it. That's not the word I want, though.
I don't know. I almost when said recreated. When it
takes,
but...
Yeah, well, when you take someone's cover and you make it your own, why can't I really, really not having a good time thinking through it? I even tried to cheat and log into Netflix while you were talking, and I still can't find what I was watching.
Oh, man, the kids started to watch something else. Now the history is all gone.
Well, the kids and my parents.
Your parents.
Aiden and I started watching the 100, but I've already watched that. So yeah. that doesn't count. I already binged that. And there's a show. This will tell you how bored I can get. I'm watching this show called Outback Truckers. It's literally about driving semi-trucks in the Outback.
Did you watch the Floor is Lava yet? We did that like as soon as it came out. Binge that thing.
I watched a little bit. My childhood. Watch a little bit of that because my kids got on to it.
Yeah.
I'm also watching another one called Heavy Rescue 401. It's about tractor trailers wrecking on Route 401 in Toronto and the people that come in and flip them back over.
Well, we're talking Netflix and pandemic. I got to ask. Were you about the Tiger King or no?
I did not watch it.
Me either. So I guess we're both missing out on that topic. We've failed 2020. All I know is Carol Baskin's killed her husband.
It would seem that that's what happened because everyone said that.
Right.
It was on the internet. It must be true.
I saw it on Facebook and Twitter. Hey, she made it on Dancing with the Stars. She got a payday. That's all that matters, right?
you have Netflix?
I do have Netflix.
Have you watched ZZ Top, little old band from Texas?
I don't know if I've watched it. I think I started something on ZZ Top not too long ago. I'll have to check that one out, though.
You have to watch that.
Yeah. I was like, when I first got Netflix, that's all I did was watch documentaries either on, you know, wrestling or music. And then they took all the wrestling ones off because WWE decided they wanted all the money.
Yep.
So that's now I catch a couple music ones. Hulu's got a couple every now and again, too. But it actually interrupted my wrestling time. You know, Raw's on. I'm going to miss out on the Thunderdome. People on screens, Zoom call.
You could be a piece of cardboard and stand.
Right. They have digital screens. They're high tech.
Do they not?
Yeah.
Melina from the band Chip and the Charge Ups.
Yeah. Yeah. She was on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw Chip post about it.
Let's see. What else? Oh, have you watched Peaky Blinders on Netflix?
It's on my list. A guy from work swears by the show. I've started it. I've got maybe one show, one episode in.
When all those little kids are running around at your house,
don't watch that. No.
Don't watch it.
That was the hardest part about the early pandemic, too. I wanted to play some video games because that's what everyone did. I had the free version of The Last of Us on the PlayStation, and I was playing that, and zombies and gunshots don't go well with kids' bedtimes.
No.
But my son loved them.
It's one thing to, yeah. Oh, The Umbrella Academy.
Oh, yes.
We binge watched that too.
Yeah. That new season was throwing you all over the place, that's for sure.
We'll just continue talking about Netflix. How about Glow? Did you watch Glow?
Oh, I love Glow. I'm so upset that they canceled it. I'm a wrestling fan. And Mark, why can't I think of his last name? The comedian. Yeah. The guy that plays the... like the runner of the show. Not the younger guy, but the older guy. He's Mark Maron. Mark Maron, comedian. I loved his TV series. And so when I saw him in something else, I was like, yeah, I'll get on this. I guess they're trying to bring it back, get someone to buy off on another season. But
Founder is another thing you should watch.
Founder. Is that the one with the McDonald's documentary?
Yes.
I watched it. That was very good.
That guy was mean.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Stole their idea.
Stole their idea. Stole their name. Stole their company.
Right. Yeah. I watched that with Connor and she's like, he's just so rude. And I was like, that is the business world.
Hell on Wheels. Did you watch that?
Yes. Very good.
Yeah. That was
very
awesome.
Good. Yeah. I don't know if I finished it. I think I did. There's what, 5 seasons?
I don't remember. I hovered over it and started talking.
Oh, man. It's over here. He's done with his interview. He's on the Netflix.
I'm going to watch Hell on Wheels now. You guys thought you were going to find out about 3 Vultures. You're finding out about what we watch on Netflix.
Right.
This could be an episode of Flix Critics.
Flix Critics.
That's a podcast that used to run on First Angel Media.
Oh, okay.
Which coincidentally was a host talking to a band member about something they binge watched on Netflix.
Wow. See there?
See that, Fernando? I absolutely did not steal your idea.
Stealing gimmicks out here.
No, I didn't.
Man, that First Angel, they're always doing stuff. Well, they're all over Facebook.
Yeah, she's definitely good at the social media aspect on top of all the other things that she's really good at.
Yeah.
Here, you probably did. You know that I'm the vice president of First Angel.
You might have said that you found out.
Yeah, most people don't know that. At one point, I didn't either.
Just like you're actually the band manager for a lot of bands that you don't know about either. It's all right.
Yeah, yeah. Your dad calls me the. Let me think. There's 5 of them, right?
I don't. Yeah, I think so.
Wait a minute. Two guitars, bass, drummer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm the 6th member of the Hellfire Club.
We used to have a 4th Walter, our old audio guy. He'd fill in on bass every now and again. We haven't really talked to him much now. We went to this new guy, which is a new topic, I guess. It'll be a little different with this new stuff coming out. I recorded live drums, but they go into a mic and are transferred digitally or something. You know, old school me is not a huge fan of that. I like the live acoustic sound, But they're selling me on it. They're selling me on it. Every time we get, you know, a taste of things, I'm like, can we make that more raw where it doesn't sound like a machine? And they're like, you are the machine. And I'm like, all right, I'm sold. You fed my ego. But it's different, you know. It's kind of more modern, I guess. And, you know, everyone's – maybe the guys in the band are just tooting my horn, but they seem to really like the sound that the drums are coming out. So it'll be interesting to see how everyone else feels about it. I'm pretty pumped. Got to give it a shot. Got to try something. Can't be stuck in the old ways all the time. I know the guy we're working with, he's kind of wants to be able to do acoustic setup eventually. So he's shooting for that. And we'll see if it goes.
Are you recording in a studio or are you doing a...
It's like in a house studio. It was on a dude's... It's like an indoor porch kind of thing set up. And so we had to do it like 10 a.m. And I got like one take the first time. That was when we did Seneca. And then when we did the other ones so that we could do a little bit more takes and be loud. And
I have Seneca, correct? I think yes. I have Seneca.
Yes. That was the one we released. But so that we could actually, you know... have a little bit more time to do it instead of hurry up, do one run and do it right. We actually did it in my attic at my house here. We tracked the drums and then the guys did guitar and bass at his place. And then he has a studio box just for vocals and has a booth and everything. It's fancier than what we had done in the past. Kind of did it in a garage basement kind of set up, but you know, it was nice. The first two, being DIY band type and... But this guy we're working with does a lot of work. He is a hardcore band of his own, Adora. They're out of Youngstown. And he does a lot of ghostwriting and stuff for some bigger bands and whatnot. And has recorded some larger projects. So it should be very different from previous, you know, a more professional take on our music. I know when we had a review last time with your boy, can't remember his name off the top of my head now. He's gonna be mad. Ah, man.
Oh,
what's brutal?
Patrick.
Pat, yeah, Pat. When he did the review, you know, that was kind of one of the things. It's just, you know, tighten up a little bit more professional recording and touch ups on things, but really dug our sound. So I'm hoping that he likes what we're putting out now. I know I sent him Seneca and he was ready to do a review then. And I was like, man, you do you, but I got some more stuff coming. You want to wait till the whole thing's done?
he's a little busy now.
Yeah, I see that. He's got like, what, two projects of his own going. And
he has Seethe and Nine Stitch Method.
Yep.
And then he's recording vocals for other bands. Like, he's not in the band, but they're having him record. And now he owns Brutal Business Entertainment,
the
record label.
Right.
And he has a full-time job. He's almost caught up to me.
Almost.
Almost.
Man, the life of the music world. I need to get back on track with mine. I'm actually working with a lot of the guys from High Class Kicks. We started there for a little bit. We're going to do the Subjects thing and kind of revamp the High Class Kicks and do more like punk rock and roll, not so much punk. We started practicing in the middle of the pandemic. Then when things got heated up, you know, we kind of died out because didn't want to gather too much. But now we're working on, doing like a rockabilly project. It'll be like the same guys except for the singer. He's not involved.
So you're going to be a stand-up bass?
That's the plan, long-term plan. Right now.
Can't do rockabilly without stand-up bass.
Right. Yeah, the guitarist, my guitar, he's full on. He's like, I want to get a full-size stand-up bass. He's like, you need to learn, you know, these rockabilly techniques with the drums. He's like, can you get some of those brushes and different tools? So I bought some of those and trying them out. It's a whole different thing. We practiced last Thursday, and we're looking to practice this Wednesday. And it's a whole different challenge, that's for sure. I'm used to just beating on things. Now I got to get this train method down.
Are you going to oil your hair?
I'm going to have to, right? Slick it back. Give the Elvis look. He's kind of got that going, the guitarist. He goes full mode though, because when I first started jamming with them, when it was High Class Kicks, it was supposed to be like a glam band. And he had the long black hair, and he would wear spandex. He's like, you're gonna have to wear spandex and glitter and this and that. And I'm like, man, I don't know if my big legs are gonna fit in spandex. I sit behind a drum kit. I didn't have long hair at the time. He's like, you cool to wear a wig? I was like, I can pull off a wig, but I don't know about the spandex. I don't know if I'll be able to move my legs drumming, but he goes, I mean, which is what you got to do, man. You got to go full go for that look. I think that's a lot of things that miss in the music world now. Everyone's so general and just a normal person, which is cool, but people will blame the grunge era for that.
I was just going to say that's the plaid and the jeans and staring at your toes.
Yep. Yeah. And that's a lot of Three Vultures. I don't think you've got the pleasure to see us live, but
I have not.
That's exactly my guitarist singer to a T, which I give him, you know, little bit more slack since he has to sing and play guitar. But my bass player, I'm like, man, you got to move. I'm back here on the drum kit making all kinds of waves and people, you know, I try to entertain people and keep them busy while the music does the rest of that. But I tell him, that bass player, I was like, man, you got to move a little bit. Give me some help back here.
I tell people all the time when I'm doing concert photography, I'm like, I really don't like taking pictures of the bass players because they just stand there. If you ever look, if you ever get a chance to look at like a day from Rock for Life where I've taken, like before I released the pictures,
yeah,
like the 700 photos I took, there might be 100 pictures of bass players.
Yeah, get those Steve Maybe. Pictures. That's Steve Craven. He knows how to move around.
He's hard to get, though.
That's because when he's not moving around, he's turning around. He's looking at yep. someone else, messing with them. I'm sure it's never a light moment around them guys.
Mike Ekus. I get some decent pictures of him.
Oh, yeah.
We used to have a running joke. Like, he's all over the place on the stage. And he never has his eyes open. So I would be... I ask him all the time how he never ran into me.
Right.
Because, again, not a little guy. And I'm up on stage, and he's just throwing himself all around the stage playing with his eyes closed.
Man.
And I've never seen him fall off stage either. I can't figure it out.
That's the way to do it, though. You got to have that energy. I'm all about it. I mean, you know who my dad is. So I'm all about that entertainment and energy and being up in the crowd, man. There's so many times that, you know, different drum breaks, or I mean, I guess bridges and songs and breaks and songs. I like to run out from behind the kit, and usually I try to store stickers behind or merch throughout the crowd, and gotta be center of attention.
Tell me the truth. Do you yell somebody scream?
I don't. Not unless I you know, I'm playing a show with him and I'm, you know, busting his balls a little bit. But yeah, I leave that to him. I'm not even sure what I yell. Not much of anything.
I was trying to figure out if it was genetic or not.
I don't know. I haven't hit that point yet. I'm not old enough, right? It's like an age. I don't know if he's always done that. I'm trying to think back to the days. It's probably like his thing he's done forever.
I'm trying to think back when I saw you sing.
Oh, man. Man.
See, I have seen you live.
Yeah, you have. You've Just seen you. Me live. Just me.
That was the show that he got up on the van and his shoes.
Yeah, his roof. Yep, his boots melted the roof. Oh, the truck? The truck that was sitting next to the stage. I actually got to jump up on a stage last summer and do that song with a buddy of mine. It was kind of fun. He said he was doing bodies, and I was like, "I'm coming up there." He's like, "I don't care." I don't know how good it turned out. I was drinking. Wasn't playing that night. I was supposed to play with my Doom band. And
see, that part of it might be genetic, because he's on the stage. If there's a stage and there's lights, he's up there.
That part is definitely genetic. I've been brought up on stage to sing. I've been brought up on stage to play drums. That one happens least frequently, surprisingly, because I'm a drummer. Most of the time it's to come up and sing.
It's because you're playing acoustic drums and they want it to go through.
Right. Yeah. They need the electronics.
Yeah. You can't do that. My guess is it's really because their drummer doesn't want you hitting their drums.
That's actually very fair of them. I have drummers come to me, you know, I get asked at some shows, "You mind if I play my kit?" I'm like, "Yeah, I don't care. You're not going to do more damage than I probably do to them." I'm not a light drummer, that is for sure. Trying to be a little bit better so I can focus on technique, change my ways. I can still remember our very first show in Salem, Ohio. Opened up for Metal Lord, our buddy Sean Up the Graph, who we were in the doom metal band with for a little while. After our set, he said, "Man, it sounded like an AK was going off out here every time you hit that snare." That was really early stages where I just, hey, we were full on grunge then. We were covering Nirvana, so I was just beating the piss out of things.
You see, that's what's next. You're going to have to start a band that you front.
That front. Yeah, I mean, I've gone longer than the old man has, so it's So pretty impressive.
As a drummer, yeah.
Yeah. He had to throw in the towel, but earlier, I thought I was getting there. You know, it was 2 or 3 years ago I started having some carpal tunnel issues, and I was like, man, this is, it's in the blood. Now I got to switch over, grab myself a microphone.
Nirvana / Foo Fighters thing. That's a perfect segue. This is a question that I definitely have not asked you.
All right, let's hit.
Okay. So I'm sure you've seen every so often that I post on Facebook and tag the Foo Fighters saying I want to interview Dave Grohl.
Yes.
Now, he still hasn't answered. But anyway.
You want me to hook him up? I got contacts.
Sure. I mean, he does that stuff all the time. Like, he gets
just not for you.
Yeah. I can't figure out why. Like, I've seen him come on to people's video blogs, like we're doing right now, like, because they talked about him. I need to find the right conduit, I think.
Right. But he just did that recently, that song with that little girl or something, that drummer.
Yeah. But anyway, so no matter what I start watching on YouTube, mm-hmm. I could start watching videos about grass growing, and by the end of the night, I'm watching Dave Grohl videos.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
No matter what, like, I'll start with something, and then I just let it autoplay. And in the end, I'm watching the Foo Fighters, and they're pulling people up on stage that are out there with signs. I want to play this with you.
Right.
So the question is, who's your Dave Grohl?
Who's my Dave Grohl?
So who would you want to go up on stage with?
And play drums for them?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? Man. That is
tough. Clearly you won't be able to outdo Kiss Guy. If you haven't watched that video, you have to pull that up.
I will have to pull it up because I'm not sure if I watched
Foo Fighters and the Kiss Guy.
Okay. Man, who would that be? I mean, right off the bat, I have to say, you know, at the top dog level, I'd have to pick Black Label Society just because I'm such a big Zakk Wylde fanatic.
Would you have to wear a kilt?
You know, I wouldn't say no. That's for sure.
See, that brings us full circle. Jazz Byers wears a kilt when he plays the drums.
Oh, man. That's probably smart. I'm over here wearing cargo shorts.
Air conditioning.
I go to the next level. That kilt. Free air. No restrictions on the leg movement.
I mean, there's a bass drum in the way.
Right. Exactly. I actually, bring up Dave Grohl, I did play at a piano rock band where the front man pianist was a drummer himself. So, and that was like one of the first bands I was part of and did things with. And that's what I always told him. I said, you're Dave Grohl in this situation. And he's a perfectionist, like super classical music perfectionist. I'm like, you don't want me to drum for you. That's not what you want to happen here. But so that was fun. I started on. So I try to keep, you know, different varieties of music and learn different technique. Usually just beat on things.
Can you imagine being in that situation that Taylor Hawkins is in?
No, not at all. Not at all. And then, I mean, and then be Taylor Hawkins and put out your own solo EP because he's a phenomenal singer on top of everything. I watched them live. One of the best shows I've ever been to, and you know, did some covers, and they did Under Pressure, and he was singing while playing, and I was like, man, killing it.
I'm trying to remember the name of his Taylor's band. He has a covers band that he plays in.
Oh yeah,
I can't remember it.
I know the Foo Fighters are famous for doing that too. They'll jump on random bars with some, you know, unknown name and play covers.
Taylor Hawkins and the Coattail Riders.
Man, that is a perfect name.
Okay, then. Hey, hold on. We're going to taylorhawkins.com. See what we can find out. We're all over the place. Let's see.
Yeah. I don't know if you Taylor watched the Voice very much, but I actually have a general contractor I work with. His daughter's on there. It was kind of cool. My fiance's in love with watching The Voice, and I was like, That's Jimmy Hall.
All right, so TaylorHawkins.com takes you to Taylor Hawkins and the Coattail Riders.
Okay. See?
But I could have swore he was in a band that was like a play on the name of a car.
What was the name of one of those songs?
Oh, there it is. Chevy Metal. Chevy Metal.
Oh, Chevy Metal. Oh, see? Yeah, you know more than I know.
I honestly would love to talk to those guys.
I'm all for that. I'd listen to that.
Hey, okay, make it happen.
All right, I'll push for it. I'll push for it. See what I can do.
Maybe you tagging them. They probably blocked me. They probably don't see any.
You're probably right. They probably did block you by now.
Here, we'll stick with music questions. We'll confuse people that have listened to us talk.
Right.
Recently, Gene Simmons said that the rock music scene is dead. The music business. Agree or disagree?
Well, he's still alive, right? So it's got to be a lie.
He is. Although he just sold his $22 million home.
Right. He's probably hurting, you know, pandemic.
Oh, you know, people probably aren't buying the Kiss coffins.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I would disagree, though. I mean, it's a new era of things. There's a lot of change. There's different looks to it. I think it's going to, you know, rise up. Everything works in circles with things, you know, different flows and trends. I think, especially after a pandemic and not being able to go to concerts and everything, once that's, you know, a plug again, I'm hoping, and I would like to think that people are going to jump all over that, and hopefully, you know, they jump for the underground guys, not just as top dogs.
I think the music business that he knows is dead.
Oh yeah, yeah, 100%. I don't think it's something you throw your hat in that you can do full time right off the bat, and even at a pretty big level, you're gonna still have to be aware of Plan B. I know some people will disagree with me. They say you have to go all in or nothing, but
well, you know, back in the 70s, they looked for bands that they could turn into something,
right?
Like, okay, these guys have it, and then they take it and they mold it. Well, now, because of the way that the business is running, they look for people that are already doing it and try to make money off of that.
Right.
And that's really that's technology failing humanity.
That's absolutely true, especially you said, you know, they want people that are established that can make them money, but they didn't provide much for them. I guess maybe a bigger platform, but in today's technology, if you're buying into that, that's something else. You just got to put that hard work in there and do it yourself.
If you have the chance to meet your music idol, but you're only allowed to ask one question, who are you meeting and what one question are you going to ask?
I mean, I'm going to have to go with, man, that's tough because I'm such a drummer now. With Zach Wild. And then I'd probably just have to ask him how nerve-wracking it was to try out for Ozzy to fill in those big shoes. I mean, I'm sure that story's been covered a million times, but now you gotta give me some references for you know, music video people. You gotta drop some of those websites. Like, that's something that works.
Like people you should talk to?
Yeah.
To do the video? Fernando de la Cruz.
Okay. I'll probably have to have you message me that, because
First Angel Media, just go there. You'll find him.
Easy enough.
He has his own stuff too, but he's on First Angel.
Yeah. That's in the works. We want to do a legit music video. We'd also like to do a lyric video as well, just so we have more content, you know. Try to keep up with the fun world.
But yeah, him, Crawfo Productions. Mm-hmm. It's like Crawford without the RD.
Okay.
Those are the two that I would look at from this area.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'll definitely have to do that, because we've only had like no luck, pretty much. We had one person that was kind of interested, but he did mostly rap videos, and they were like 2-minute songs. And our bass player found this guy, and he sent him a song. I was like, "Your guys' stuff is too long." And I was like, "Yeah." And after watching two or three videos, they all pretty much started out very similar to. I was like, oh, he's got a niche, and it's in the rap scene. They look professional. I still laugh at people. I mean, I guess I don't laugh because I'm not being too humorous to them or hard on them. But when they talk about different scenes, you know, like Akron music scene, you know, Youngstown music scene, I'm like, is that even a thing now? Like we were talking about, it's a different type of world. I don't think you can category like areas. I mean, because even like us, like, we're down in Lisbon, which is half hour from Youngstown, but we consider ourselves out of Youngstown because this is the closest biggish city.
Well, that's like me saying I'm from Pittsburgh.
Right, right.
You've been here. This is not Pittsburgh.
It is not Pittsburgh. It almost feels like it sometimes when we're on those hills.
This has been episode number 541 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. At some point in the middle there, we played Seneca by Three Vultures. I have no idea where. You'll hear it. Make sure you check us out each and every Friday when we release new episodes. Next week we have, I double booked, so this one will be interesting. We're going to have Half Wheel and Miss Freddie. If you're into the blues, Miss Freddie is, she's phenomenal.
Man, I'm about to check that out.
And Half Wheel just released a brand new CD. As we're recording this, it's November 9th. Tomorrow, November 10th. called Good Days. You can find that at halfwheelband.com. Full circle again. I designed that website. Anyway. So make sure you check out Half Wheel and Miss Freddie. On the 27th of November, which I think is the day after Thanksgiving, is Brad Abbott. On December 4th, we have Royal Honey. On December 11th, we're going to play an episode that I recorded a long time ago. It was Joel Miller, who is the author of Memoir of a Roadie. It's a book on Amazon. At the time, it was the number one, I want to say documentary, when I interviewed him. Very cool. He did some roadieing. Is that a word?
It is now.
For some bands that you have heard of. I read that book. I started at 10:30 on a Friday, and I was done by 2 o'clock on Saturday. And I want to say it's like 490 some pages. I couldn't put it down. It was awesome. After that, we have Robert Wagner on December 18th. On Christmas Day, we're going to do something a little different.
Nonstop Bill over here.
Christmas Day, we're going to play Christmas music from unsigned bands.
Ooh.
And Christina Santavica from the band The Shadow Event is going to interview me on that episode.
Ooh.
So we'll see what happens there.
There we go.
To give you an idea, Christina asks questions like, if your band was in a cartoon series, what cartoon series would it be and which character would play you?
Ooh.
Her latest question was, who's your favorite drummer, bassist, guitarist, and singer? So we'll see where this goes. I'm a little scared. On January 1st, Parabellum, it's Terry Blair and company. After the Fall on January 8th, they just recently released their new SA EP. We're going to follow up with their label mates, Corners of Sanctuary, on the 15th, who also just released an EP, but I can't remember the name of that one. Sorry, guys. And then I have the Rust Project scheduled for January 22nd. So those are the upcoming shows. If you're tuned in and you would like to be a guest on the show, you can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/buildthescene, or you can send me an email at bill@buildthescene.com. Hey. So we are going to head on out. This is where you get confused, because what you're going to hear now is a little bit of music from the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. And then you're going to hear John Lane III do our outro. So different person. John, thanks for coming on.
Anytime.
And hang out for a little bit. I'm going to tell you that Spanish story.
For sure.
All right. So, we'll catch you next week.
wait to see my play. I'll live another day to rot and hate and take it all away. Growing within to unleash the beast within.
This episode of the Pennsylvania Rock Show has ended, but be sure to subscribe to be introduced to more of the best on-sign rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. Don't forget to rate and review the show, and we'll see you on the next episode.